All right, this is the Health Haven Podcast. This is Elliot the Trainer. We have J.J. Burden on the line. J.J., how's it going?
It's going really good, Elliot. How are you doing today?
Everything's all right. We're very happy that you're on the podcast, and we appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys, too. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Just right into it, you spent 9 years in the NFL, and I know from I'm a huge NFL fan, always had up since 1986. Can you tell us about your 9 years in the NFL?
Yeah, definitely. Well, first for me, you know, my 9 years in the NFL was a bit of a surprise. I am not your prototypical physically looking football player. I'm about 5'10", 157 pounds. And so I had the opportunity to go to University of Oregon on a track scholarship, but always played football in high school, but everyone said I was too small. But anyway, I begged the coach to give me a shot to walk on, and the second year they let me walk on. I guess you could say the rest is history from there, because next thing you know, I was invited my senior year to the NFL Combine, where they're testing all the different college prospects for the NFL draft. And come 1988, when I thought there was no way in the world I was going to be drafted, I got the call from the Cleveland Browns and was drafted by them in 1988. And then, you know, I had a rough start, Elliot. Right away, I was in the middle of my track season, by the way. I was very good long jumper. I was an Olympic trials qualifier in the long jump, and that was kind of where my heart was. But once I got drafted, in the middle of my track season, I needed to go off to rookie camp with the Browns, and third practice, I tore up my ACL in practice. So there went track, and to be honest, it is the reason why I pursued that path after that, because I couldn't run. But that first year, I was on IR. I learned a lot. I didn't have the pressure of playing. I got to sit back, get healthy, and really absorb that level of the game. And then the next year was when I started to play, and kind of went through a lot of young players might experience early on. I was cut by the Browns, and then I went right to the Cowboys during that season of 1989, and didn't really play yet. I was on the practice squad, fighting to get on the roster. And then that next year, I signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, which was the right move, because that's when my career really did launch from there. And I spent the next 5 years playing for the Chiefs and had a great time there. I got to play with some great athletes those last couple of years, playing with Joe Montana and Marcus Allen. Yeah, those are thrill. I mean, imagine being in the huddle with one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. We had a great year there that last year. We just didn't make it to the Super Bowl. We lost in the AFC Championship game. And then I went on to the Atlanta Falcons, and I finished my last 2 years there. And once that ninth year finished, I thought, you know what? Here I am, little guy, got to play in this game. I got banged up, but I'm healthy. Right. Let's get out while we can. I retired that year.
All right, going back to playing with Joe Montana, I just can't help it because he's the prototype quarterback, arguably the best quarterback of all time. What was that like being in that huddle with Joe Montana?
Well, I tell you, to be honest, it took me a while to get used to it. I mean, Joe was the man, you know, he was the man. And all of a sudden, I'm in the huddle with Joe Montana, and that I can still remember that first practice looking at him like, hey, that's Joe Montana, you know, and he's calling the play. But I quickly got to see why he was or is one of the best to ever play the game. Consummate professional. He's kind of like, I guess you could say, like the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers, who are basically offensive coordinators on the field. They know everything that's happening, so they know what plays are the right plays, what's the bad play, and when they should make changes. And Joe is like that. And what even impressed me more is how he had the ability to look off the safety or the defenders and throw to a spot where the receiver typically would have the best chance to catch the ball. And so, and a great guy, too. I mean, he was just down to earth, just a cool Joe, you know, and I really appreciate that about him.
Now, I saw some of your highlights, and I saw him tossing you some bombs, very accurate, softly thrown right into the breadbasket. But you had this ability to break away. You had that breakaway speed that's often talked about with some of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL. Did you train for that, or was that like a God-given talent? Can you explain how you had that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and it's a combination of both. Obviously, I was gifted with the the talent of speed. I was always fast, right, even from grade school on up. But I also worked my butt off, you know. So I'm one of those athletes that, yeah, I had the talent, but I matched that with the hard work and really try to maximize the opportunities I had. And so when I got to the NFL, I realized that, hey, I'm not the biggest guy out there. So what's my most important asset? It's my speed. Yeah. You know, I could catch the ball. Mentally, I knew the positions and where to line up. So during my career, Elliot, I always had a period in the off season where I would train like a sprinter.
Okay.
I would take, like, you know, that maybe March, April, when we would start an off season program, but I would still train like a sprinter, and I would do my interval training, you know, on the track, things that I knew from my track days, because I know that if I run 4.3 when they're timing a 40, if I can run 4.3 on the field, now I'm something special. Now I can run away from defenders, and I can create that separation and keep it. Yeah. And that was my competitive edge. So all the way up until my ninth year, I was still running 4.3, and a lot of it had to do how I was training in the off season.
Yeah, I saw you just running by safeties, literally like running by them. Now, you were telling me about it's sort of like the sprint drills you were doing. Was there any special diet that you were going hand-in-hand with the training, with the workout training?
Well, I typically, you know, use some of the training that I did back at U of O. Because at U of O, I was a long jumper, but I was also a high hurdler, and I ran the first leg of the 4x1.
Okay.
So I had a really good base of speed training. And for me, what I would typically do is I would start out like we would do in track. I would start out with the longer intervals. I would start out with, like, the 400s and the 500s and really try to get a base. And then as we got closer to mini camp, or as we got closer to training camp, I would start cutting down to the shorter sprints, like the 300s and the 200s.
Okay.
And then right when, I'll tell you, when I knew when we were running 40s or something, I would really cut down to fast 100s and fast 50s and fast 60s.
Okay.
Because in order to run fast, you got to practice running fast.
Exactly.
So I would treat like mini camp and beginning of the season like I was training for the Olympics. So you just, you know, interval training and speed training, and it's one of the things I tell young athletes who are always asking me, you know, what's the best way to increase your speed? I say run track and field.
Right.
Even if you can't compete, run with those sprinters, train with them, because you can develop your speed and develop long speed too. So that's what I did.
Absolutely. Now, you spent 9 years in the NFL, and then you transitioned. You transitioned over to your health and fitness sort of second career, if you want to call it that. Was it a smooth transition for you?
Well, for me, it was, because I was always planning for life after football.
Okay.
The year I got in, my simple goal was to let me see if I could make it to the fourth year, because the fourth year is when players become vested, when they require or qualify for retirement.
Okay.
So that was my goal. And then after that, it was like, hey, let's see if we can go another year. But during those years, I think fifth, sixth, and seventh year, I was making a lot of connections with people and meeting so many different people in different fields, because I wanted to go into the health and wellness industry, but I wasn't sure where exactly. And so once I retired, I partnered with some doctors, and I got involved with some medical companies. I owned a durable medical equipment company where we work with patients that had respiratory problems, and then I had some physical therapy clinics, and then I was part owner of a fitness equipment home gym. So I did that for about 8 or 9 years, but I didn't like the corporate aspect of it. Even as the owner, there was a lot of challenges, and so then I moved towards where I am now. I work with a company called Isagenix, which focuses on providing health and wellness solutions. So now I have products that I can recommend to people to get their weight right or get their nutrition right or improve their workouts, and then anyone else that's looking to do something further too. So I like the freedom, and I like the fact that it's all about helping people. Helping people achieve their goals, and that's what I'm all about.
Can you tell us about some of those products?
Yeah, absolutely. They have four main solutions, and they focus on weight loss. They have an incredible weight loss system that revolves around protein shakes that are 100% organic whey protein. They're undenatured protein, so the protein is high quality from New Zealand. You match that with a cleansing product called Cleanse for Life, which is a simple detox cleansing system that works in conjunction. And then they have healthy snacks that you're taking in between. And what I like about the program is that anybody can lose weight. Just, you know, cut your calories, starve yourself. The problem is you're probably going to gain the weight back. Well, their program is designed to not just release the weight, but sustain the weight loss, too. So you go on a maintenance as well. And then they have some great products that focus on energy and performance. Okay. Let's say somebody wants to improve their workouts, need more energy, better recovery, or maybe they're a housewife that just needs more energy to get through the day. They have those products. And then healthy aging, some very natural anti-aging products to help people age more youthfully, too. So besides those three categories, there's a skincare category as well. But I primarily focus on those first three because everyone's trying to improve their health in some capacity. And I have a saying that, you know, being fit and being healthy, it's not a fad. It's a lifestyle.
That's a lifestyle.
And it starts with good nutrition.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. It's an absolute lifestyle. I try to preach it to as many people as possible. It's not a short-term, let's lose weight and aesthetic. It's functional and it's long-term. You want to live longer if you can, and you want to have a great quality of life if you are lucky enough to live longer.
Yeah. Well said. Absolutely.
You're a motivational speaker. How did you transition from, you know, your health and fitness second career into being a really good motivational speaker? I saw some of your speeches.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, to be honest, I started out in the NFL. When I was in the NFL, there's a lot of opportunity for players to do appearances where you might go and speak to kids at schools. You might speak at a graduation. You might even do autographs or whatever. And I recall that opportunity being available. And then a lot of guys wouldn't do it. And I thought, hey, I'll do it because it's something I wanted to be able to do. If I'm going to speak in front of people, I want to be able to do it in a way that I could touch their heart, that I could really impact them. So I got my start back then during my career, and as it's ended, I've transitioned it to something a little more formal where I can really send some very powerful messages to people, you know, whether I'm talking about, you know, life success, team building, family success, just a variety of topics. But my favorite topic is really preaching to people about the importance of seizing their opportunities. And I just happened to be writing my first book, and I actually completed the book. I'm working on the revisions I got from my editor, but the book is titled When Opportunity Knocks, 8 Surefire Ways to Take Advantage.
Okay.
And the whole premise behind the book is that I want to emphasize to people that no matter who you are, where you come from, no matter what your situation is, we all have opportunities in life. The question is, do we seize them? And then two, do we maximize them? And so throughout my book, I share like 8 principles of how to seize your opportunities. And I got a lot of great little stories that, you know, that I can personally share that happened in my life. Because I'll tell you, Elliot, when you're 5'10", 157 pounds, and everybody's telling you too small,
you
got a lot of motivation to prove people wrong.
I could imagine. Not the tallest guy in the world you're speaking to right now, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when is that book going to be finished?
Well, the book is, like I said, I finished the draft. I met with my editor. Now I'm working on my revisions. And my goal is to finish it or have it ready the first quarter of next year. I was hoping to have it done by the Super Bowl, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But the exciting thing is that, you know, I'm proud of the fact that I'm writing this book. There's no ghost writer. It's me. It's my words. It's my experiences. And it's for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. It's not all, you know, catered toward sports. It's about life, you know, achieving those or maximizing those opportunities. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting my website up to par. We're doing some things in preparation, but definitely the first quarter of next year.
Excellent. JJ, any other projects that you want to just let the Health Haven kind of fit fam know about before we get out of here?
Well, no, I guess those are the main things. I would just encourage everyone to connect with me. I'm very active in social media. It's one of the things I really appreciate about the avenue that or the opportunities that social media is provided. I get to communicate with so many different fans and people and just, you know, connect with me, reach out to me. If you go to www.jjburden.com, you can have access to everything that I'm doing.
Okay. And what are your Twitter handles, Facebook handles, and Instagram or Pinterest handles?
Excellent. I'm going to make it easy for everyone. All my social media handles is JJ Burden. So it's just at JJ Burden on everything, and you'll definitely find me.
All right, folks, that was J.J. Burden. This is the Health Haven Podcast. J.J., we want to thank you again for your time.
Well, thank you, too, Elliot. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share and keep up the good work.
We'll try. Thanks, J.J.